Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this time together in your word. Lord, we thank you that you have preserved your revealed word, that it might continue to be living and active in our midst even this day, so many years after the event. Lord, may we continue to be shaped and molded by your Holy Spirit. May we continue to pick up the weapons that you have given us for the fight that we're in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So citizens drafted during World War II in Vietnam were trained from 3 to 16 weeks. From 3 to 16 weeks, it varied many times during World War II. They went from citizen to soldier. Not only citizen to soldier, but soldier right into the theater of war where it was going on. You don't always have the luxury for extensive training when someone wages a war against you. And that is why a lot of times that training is drastically abbreviated from what they would prefer or want. The war demands soldiers, and so soldiers are quickly trained and sent off to battle. Well, today, Jesus, in his baptism, we hear the confirmation of him as God's Son, as the Father speaks over him at his baptism. We also see the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, marking him as the one, the promised Messiah. And then we see the Holy Spirit, which descends on him in his baptism, immediately takes him into the desert to face his adversary and your adversary. You could almost look at the language that Mark uses at this moment of transition from the baptism to the temptation as the Spirit threw him into the desert, almost as one pushes a boxer into the ring that they might face their adversary in the ring. Now we could ask, how prepared was Jesus for that moment? Well, we'll get into that in a few moments. But what we want to realize at this point is that Jesus goes from baptism to warfare immediately. Just as we celebrate baptism, as we did just a few moments ago with Hannah, and we'll do it again in the late service, yes, we celebrate all that God has worked in that child's life through baptism, that they have received the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. But here's the piece we don't talk about often. As soon as we are baptized, we are enlisted into the church militant. The church at war. We have real enemies as soldiers of Jesus Christ, often referred to as the unholy Trinity. We have the devil himself, we have the world which is aimed against us, and we have our own sinful flesh. That's how we often talk about the unholy Trinity. The moment we are baptized, these forces aim to snuff out not only our faith, but all the good that God has delivered to us in our baptisms. And they seek to do this without tire. They continue to come against us. And we can quickly ask, is an infant, is a baby prepared for the battles of temptation that they are going to face at the moment of their baptism? And we could say, no. We just read through it in the rite, didn't we? Is when this child is baptized, we pledge to raise them in the faith. All these different things we aim to teach them from God's word to better prepare them to engage the enemy against them. We could also ask, are you as an adult, are you prepared to face the temptations that come your way as a baptized child of God? And I would say the answers would probably be all over the spectrum. But my question today is to you personally, are you ready and equipped to face the temptations? For my worry today is you. Are you ready? Well, we turn our eyes to Jesus as he goes into the desert, as he's thrust into the desert to face his adversary, the devil. And Mark's gospel doesn't give us all the details that the gospel of Matthew provides as it relates to this. But in the gospel of Matthew, we see the very tools and weapons that the Lord Jesus uses to defeat and gain victory over the temptations of the devil. Now, mind you, this is a victory over temptations. This is not the victory which will come over the devil himself. This is the victory over temptations. And in Matthew's gospel, we learn of two great tools that Jesus has. The tool of the Torah, the revealed word of God, and the tool of the Holy Spirit. Both of these are the tools that the Lord Jesus uses to battle his temptations in the desert. And we see the echoes of the Exodus, don't we? We see now Israel in Jesus reduced to one. Jesus is in the desert for 40 days. Israel went into the desert for 40 years. We will also see a much different outcome after the time in the desert for the person of Jesus versus the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel themselves do not gain the victory that Jesus gains when he is in the desert. So he fights with God's word and with the power of the Holy Spirit. These are his weapons. This is what he uses to do battle with the temptations of your chief adversary and mine. Now, we can ask ourselves, Jesus is also God. Could he not have simply overpowered the devil and his temptations with his divine power? As he will do many times as he casts out demons throughout the Gospel of Mark with just a word. Could he have done that? And the answer would be, of course he could. So then the follow-up question is, why doesn't he? Well, my answer to that question, which I'm sure you can debate whether I'm right or not, but my answer to that question is simply this. How would we then learn how to fight the temptations the devil puts before us if he uses something that's not accessible to us? Right? As much as I could quote Jesus to my spouse, she reminds me, you're not him. Right? And I can't summon divine power because I'm not divine. I'm a creature of the Creator. So he gives us the tools that every baptized person has available to them to fight temptation, which is the Word of the living God and the living Holy Spirit at work in you and in me. And there's some other challenge to you and me that Jesus also didn't have to necessarily face, and that's this, is we also have a sinful nature within us, which also seeks to be in alignment with the devil himself. And so we have the Word and the Spirit. And it's with these two things Jesus does not fall prey to the devil's temptations. It's these victories in the desert that also remind you and I that Jesus is unwilling to move outside of the Father's will, not only in taking the devil's bait, but also knowing he has come into the world with a mission to save all of humankind by his death and resurrection. And it is indeed at that resurrection that we see the victory now over the devil himself. But Jesus tells us as baptized children, though the war has been won against him, the battles that he wages against you and me will continue all the days of your life on this earth. These enemies are aimed against you until your final breath or until the Lord Jesus' second coming and return. And here's the reality. Sometimes you and I will win the battles. Sometimes that temptation which makes it its way to us, even in a moment of weakness, will be defeated by the power of God's Word and the Spirit, and it will not lead us to sin. And at other times, we will succumb to our own sinful nature and we will swallow everything that the devil puts before us, and temptation will lead to actual sin. And it's in those moments that we begin to see the richness of God's mercy and forgiveness, because he comes to us when we've been laid out on the battlefield, having taken the bait and committed the sin. He extends to us the means of forgiveness through absolution and through the Lord's Supper. These are the only medicines for the wounds we cause ourselves as a result of our sin. These are the medicines that raise us back to life to get back into the fight. These are the gifts that the Holy Spirit works through to turn us from sin to repentance, that we might be forgiven. But hear this, even though we do have God's rich forgiveness for sins, we are here to fight. We are here to fight. And we can never afford to go to sleep against the devil and his schemes, his deceitfulness, and our own sinful nature. Through God's Word and Spirit, Jesus tells us we are to remain awake, alert, and ready to combat the devil's temptations. We don't ever wave the white flag of surrender against these temptations and then sin simply because God has provided the medicine of absolution and the Lord's Supper. Yes, these medicines are here, but they are not for those who refuse to fight. Medicine of forgiveness of sins is not for those who refuse to fight. It is for those who lose the fight, but it's not for those who refuse. Those who refuse to fight will find themselves and maybe their own end on the battlefield with a faith that does not save. Every single one of us, even the sweet, adorable Hannah, is on the front line. And there is no shelter in the rear. And there is no ceasefire to the battle. Mark's account of this is swift, and he directs you and I to follow the actions of Jesus Christ. He is the one we follow. He is the one who addresses our wounds. He is the one who has gone before us to show us the way to eternal life. He is the one who won the war over the devil at his empty grave when he came back to life. He is the medicine of our immortality as we engage in this combat. Baptism leads to warfare, just as it did for Jesus. But you are never alone in the war. The divine Trinity is with you, the living Word of God is with you, and the brothers and sisters of Christ are with you. And this is why Jesus reminds us over and over again to be alert, be ready, stand guard. You see, if you have a perimeter and you fall asleep on guard duty, you not only put your life at risk, you put the life of everyone around you at risk. It's the same thing here. If you go to sleep on the devil, you're at risk, your family's at risk, and it's got the potential for a whole local congregation to be at risk. Brothers and sisters, it is time for us around the world, all of those in Christ, to get back in the fight. The carnage is piling up all over the world of those who went to sleep at the wheel. Those who turn their back on the very tools and gifts of God that Jesus Christ gives for this battle, the bodies are piling up at a rate at which we have never seen, at least in our lifetimes. If that's ever going to turn, it starts with you personally. It starts with me personally. It starts with coming to this meal to not only receive forgiveness, but strength to get back in the fight. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, far too often we take too lightly the fact that we have been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And as we are moved from one to the other, we have a target placed on our back. We have an enemy that does not rest. We have an enemy that we were just reminded in both hymns today that is more than we can handle alone. But Lord Jesus, you came that we didn't have to handle this alone, that we weren't responsible for winning the war, for you have won that through your death and resurrection. But you provide us tools of Word and the Holy Spirit that we might fight the battle that you know we will be in each and every day of our lives. And Lord, we cannot thank you enough for the healing salve that your means of grace provide us as we wound others, as we are wounded by our sin and other people's sin. Lord, may your Spirit always call us and gather us back together in this place, that we might be healed, that we might be prepared to enter back into the fight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.